You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Now, we've been teasing this for the last couple of weeks. I'm delighted to say we are joined by the new Athlone Town CEO, and that is Stephen Gray, who joins us on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Stephen, great to have you on. Welcome along, your first appearance on the show. I suppose before we get into the nuts and bolts and the nitty gritty of your position with Athlone, tell us a little bit about your background in the game. I know you played in the league, you spent some time in Australia, and more recently behind the scenes at Rovers as well. But in your own words, tell us who Stephen Gray is.
You've done your research. That sums it up. I suppose, look, I've been approximately 30 years in professional football because usual, I went to England as a 17-year-old, spent some time at Southampton, came back, entered the League of Ireland pretty much immediately with Drogheda United, had a really good journey there, won the league, the FAI Cup, and then I went to Derry, had two great years under Stephen Kenny. Had a year of balls that didn't work out because I went through injury and stuff like that for the first time in my life. And then due to a few factors, but mainly the economic situation in the country at the time, an opportunity came up in Australia and I went out there. Had a really enjoyable experience, but then actually retired probably when I was quite young. I think I was 33, 34 when I retired because the lifestyle, and I was always interested, Kieran, in different things, i.e. business or studying. So the opportunity came to go into a business venture, went into business. That's another story, but I've always kind of been interested in other things apart from my professional playing career. I've studied, I've got a degree in physical therapy, I've got a master's in business and MBA, I've got a master's in elite sports performance, I've got my elite A license in coaching. So when you put all that together, my playing career, and then at approximately 8 years at Shamrock Rovers, coaching at different levels, head of education, worked with really good people. When you put all that together, I think I've had a decent journey through professional football. So hopefully, well, in my mind, I've got confidence that I'm well placed to take this role now as well.
Yeah, very impressive, I have to say. As you said, there's lots of different experiences and skills there that should stand to you in the position you've taken up with Athlone, which is CEO. But I suppose it's very different, you know, dipping your toes in the water, different things, coaching, and as you said, you've got a degree in physiotherapy and everything else. It's very different running a football club. So how is that challenge going to be for you?
It's the greatest challenge in my life. I'm attracted to this originally because of Nick Giannotti, like, you know, he contacted me and he told me the story and we hit it off straight away. I'm a bit romantic, Kieran, I have to say, you know, being able to take a club like Athlone and, you know, it's viewed maybe as one of the bottom clubs in Ireland. Okay, that's fine. But we've got ambitions to be competing in the top half of League of Ireland football in the next few years. And that's the romantic side to me, and the opportunity to step into a real leadership role and affect real life change was a temptation that I couldn't turn down. But I'm strategic, you know. My master's in business, I really, really enjoyed it. I learned about strategy and different strategic models, and I learned a lot about leadership, and I learned about planning, and I learned about implementation and management. My friends slagged me, one of them, a good friend of mine, Jay McGuinness, he goes, "You've got an acronym for everything." I just nearly have a strategic approach towards a lot of things. So I could talk to you all day, but I do have a vision with Nick, and I do have a plan to implement that vision. I, you know, I'm working on our vision and growth plan every day. It's a working document. I'm sure you'll have other questions, but to give you a very, very quick summary of how to see the football club, I see it as a business. I see it as a business. It's about what money we take in and what we spend and balancing the books and, you know, hopefully coming out with some profit. But I'm going to have five pillars to the football club. Each of them are as important as the football. So number one is your community engagement. There's a big thriving community down here in Athlone, in the Midlands area. Thousands of people living down here. It's an expanding town. There's plans here to make it even bigger. It's a football town, the oldest football club in Ireland. So that community engagement plan is going to be massive. Our commercial plan, which is realising different net revenue streams, it's going to be massive. That's going to be made easier by our connections within the community. Our third pillar is our football. Okay, so you've got women who are the brand at the moment. The women are absolutely a joy to watch. They're absolutely flying. Really exceptionally good group. You've got men's football, you've got academy, and then you've got maybe partnership clubs in the community. Our fourth pillar will be our governance, which someone could say is the most important thing, like our relationship with the FEI, our relationship with the PFEI, our licensing, our player registration, all that sort of stuff. How you govern your club, your HR policies is really, really important to run it like a sustainable business. And pillar number five, without over-talking, is a quirky one, but I want us to be an environmentally friendly club. We own our ground. Why can't we stick some solar panels up in the roof and make us an environmentally friendly football club and hopefully get access to some grants and stuff like that? So I've got five pillars. It's going to take departments and really, really good people in those positions, but I have a plan. It's going to take time, but yeah, there's definitely a where there's a will, there's a way, I suppose.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting there. We might come back to some of them pillars in a couple of minutes. One thing I want to ask you, I suppose if you took this job 10, 15 years ago, really all you would be concerned about right now is the men's first team. But as we know, League of Ireland has expanded massively. You've got a thriving women's division there, as you said. And also all the clubs have big academy teams now. So you're almost managing three clubs, really. Would that be a fair summarisation?
There's so many areas, Ciarán. Like, you know, my day is diverse. You know, I had a meeting online about licensing. I had two football meetings in there with different departments. I've been on to a HR consultant today. Have academy meetings. So the day is so diverse. I cannot prioritise at the moment. One thing is as important as another because it's so important for me to connect with the community. I don't want to talk about previous leadership, but most people I meet are asking me, are we moving forward? Are things going to change? And I'm going, yeah. So I need to get out there. I need to meet community figures. But what's more important right now, like the women are, you know, are the brand of the football club at the moment. Like we're chasing. I wouldn't have said this before our game yesterday, before beating Shamrock Rovers, but now a double is realistic because we're in a final and we're top of the league. Then you've got the men's. So I'm after a meeting with Ian Ryan, you know, half an hour ago, and while he's managing his week to week, which is challenging because we know what a team is, but we have to keep going. But we're also planning, and we're doing a lot of planning. And then you've got the academy, because we've got some good academy teams down here. So there's loads and loads and loads of factors. And it's my challenge, Ciarán, is managing my time because I want to work 12 hours a day on all these different areas, but it's just not functional. I've tried it for the last 6 weeks. So I'm gone down now to probably 11-hour days. But it's a very, very busy time. And it's very, very hard to prioritize because there's so much work that needs to be done.
And that plan, that vision you have for Athlone Town, is it going to be 100%? Are you going to split the resources evenly and the focus evenly between the men's and the women's team? We obviously had Nick on the podcast here recently, and it was clear from speaking to him, he has a huge passion for the women's game. And some people might have taken the view after listening to that maybe he's going to be a chairman that's more interested in the women's side of the game. So as a club, how do you feel the focus and the resources will be split between the two in the coming months and years?
Look, I don't mind sharing this. I said about our five pillars, but amongst those pillars, you're going to have different departments. So let's say just the football pillar alone. You've got the men's department. I've had a meeting with Ian Ryan. I'm not breaking comps. We need to build his staff. So you've got Ian Ryan. He probably needs minimum 8 staff. You're talking about team ops, physios. You're talking about strength and conditioning. You're talking about kit men. You're talking about a couple of assistants. You're talking about analysts. So that's just building his department. Same with the women. You know, you're talking about 8 staff. The academy, you're talking about academy director. You're talking about National League coaches. You're talking about arguably the most important thing in the whole football department is your head of the head of your medical department, which we currently don't have. The well-being, the wellness, how we treat our injuries is arguably the most important thing. The welfare of our players is the most important thing. Need to appoint a head of S&C, a high performance coach as well. That's how I see it. Someone's going to head up that high performance role, and he's going to oversee what happens in the women's, what happens in the men's, what happens in the academy. And then again, I'm not breaking confidence. The plan is to bring in a technical director. And I've had a couple of conversations early on. But that person will head up the football department as well as myself, because I love the football stuff. I'm a football man. But I would like to spend a little bit more time in the community or in a commercial area where I can help appreciate different source of revenue for the club, because that's, I suppose, my main job. So we're going to have department heads, Kieran. They're going to have jobs. We're going to put in really, really high levels of professionalism, high standards. I'm going to support these people in their roles. I'm going to trust them. They're going to be accountable, don't get me wrong, but that's how it's going to be done. There's going to be really, really strong positions. There's going to be really, really strong people in key positions in the football club. And no area is going to be more important than the other, the men's, the women's, the academy, the commercial, the community. Every single element of the football club stroke business is going to be given maximum care, because they're all important. They really, really are.
And that's great to hear as well, because we're always talking about, you know, Irish football trying to build an industry. So that's just one club there who may be hiring multiple, I'd imagine, maybe full-time positions. So you're creating good opportunities for people there. I suppose you've been particularly busy over the last couple of days, Stephen, because Colin Fortune has left the club. Look, and it's up to you how deep you want to go on that situation. But you spoke earlier about the community engagement plan, trying to, I suppose, rebuild a lot of bridges within the community from the past. And look, I suppose it has generated some negative PR for the club. So that's probably been a bit damaging to your first pillar there.
Yeah, look, I think there was a bit that came out on social media. You know, I don't really want to go into that, if that's okay. All I want to do is I want to thank Colin again. You know, the girls are in the women are in a strong position, you know, and a lot of that is down to Colin's work. You know, he did make a decision to resign. I don't want to go into detail about exactly what happened, because I know certain things came out on social media, etc. He made a statement, and I just want to move on. But I go on record, Colin done great things with the women's team and helped them to get to where they are today.
Yeah, and obviously I was over covering the couple of the European games, and what they've done in Europe and domestically this season is absolutely incredible. In regards between now and the end of the season, are you expecting to make a full-time appointment, or are you going to leave the staff in charge between now and the end of the season?
Between now and the end of the season, John Sullivan will be in charge. John's been immense since he came in. Professional guy, very, very nice manner about him. Come in, and he's made, you don't want to make too many changes, because the women are in a good place, but he's made subtle little changes. We also had the timing of John coming in was around the same time as Emmett Egan coming in as well, who's a really, really good high performance S&C coach. And we have Irene Hansen as well, who's the great Liam Gaffey's president of the club. Liam's daughter's come in to be our women's player liaison officer. So there was quite a few moving parts in the women's team. So the last week was challenging because of all that change. But all I can say is John has handled it really, really well, because he's had to step in the main leadership role. He's had to, for want of a, you know, overusing a cliche, steady the ship. But I have to give full credit to him and all the staff and Like the women, they're such a good group, Ciarán. Like, you know, I have to say, I've only really got into women's football, I suppose, the last 6 or 7 weeks in my role as CEO. I travelled to Holland with them, spent some time in the background. I travelled to Glasgow with them. So I'm getting to know them, and they've such a good chemistry, good culture within the players themselves. And it's different than men's football that I'm used to, because like before a game, the women are singing in the dressing room like before the match, which is great, you know, which is a part of their connection, is part of their team spirit. I've never seen that before in men's football. The radio might be on afterwards and you might be singing a song after a big win, but the women are singing a song before the game. And it's great. They've just got a really good chemistry in there. So I know I've said it, but John has done a really, really good job since he's come in. So, and it's a credit to him. 10 out of 10 there, like, you know.
As I said, I was over covering a couple of the European games, and it was amazing to see Lizzie Woolen was sold out. So the women have shown there is an appetite within Athlone for people to come out and support their local team and show pride when their team is doing well. I suppose the challenge for you and everyone involved with Athlone, how do you do that with the men's team? How do you restore the pride and the glory to Athlone Town, such a historic club, but very much have fallen on hard times over the last number of years?
Yeah, like I said, we have a plan. Need to support Ian Ryan. He's fully invested. He's a really, really good guy, professional guy, good background in the game. He's been around. He's got great experience. I'm only getting to know Ian since I came into the role. And he's fully on board with where the club is going. And when I came in, when I analysed, I suppose, the football department, he needed help because this HR staff was relatively small. Such was the resources of the football club, as was the women. So I said to Ian when we sit down, I says, the first thing is, I says, what help can I give you? What do you need? And he says, well, we need to build out the football department. That was the discussion. Before we can attract players into his team, we need to be able to sit down and explain to players what they're coming into. So we need to build out the men's football department. Like I've already said, I'd be looking to bring in a minimum staff of 8 people. So when we sit down in the coming weeks, and we have had the recruitment chat, we've got targets that we're going to be going after in the coming weeks. So we sit down with these individuals, we present to them, and we say, well, this is our staff, this is our strength and conditioning department, this is our medical department, this is our analyst department. This is our expectations for the season in 2026. This is what we plan to do. This is our team, how it looks now, and the targets that we're going to go after. When you present the football piece and the financial piece, hopefully we're going to attract players. And that's the plan, Ciarán. We're going to put a plan in place. We're going to build out a football department. We're going to set realistic targets. And we're going to hopefully go out and execute. And my job is to support Dean in all those different areas. But it's been a challenging year, but his mindset is really, really good. So Will continue with his day to day. He knows he knows our plans. He knows where we're going to take this football club, and his standards are really, really high. So it's been a pleasure to work with him in the first 6 or 7 weeks of my role, and I'm really, really excited about what we're going to do next year.
From what you're saying there, it sounds like a lot of the conversations you're having with Ian are in regards to next season. There obviously a lot of people are talking about the fact, you know, he's been in there for a number of months now, and 13, 14 games, hasn't won a game. Can you put your faith in Ian Ryan that he will be the man to lead Athlone next season?
I've great faith in Ian, 100%. He walked into a difficult time. Like, you know, the club was going through a transition. Like, he was recruited or signed, I suppose, exactly when the club was being brought by new owners. But I know that previous leadership had a say with Ian coming in as well. So it was a strange time. We've only spoken about it a little bit. But it's been hard for Ian to put his own philosophy, his own beliefs in play into the team, because you're looking at a period of time where he's battling for points every single week. He's in the thick of it every single week. I know there are some injuries and stuff like that, so he's come in at a really, really challenging time, but he's continued to get on with it. And I'm not going to overanalyze where the club is right now. What I can say is, from someone that's been in football quite some time, like I said, nearly 30 years, when I looked at his staff, he had a very, very small group of people. You know, very, very small group. He had injuries. So the first thing I need to do is support him, analyse what he needs, ask him what he needs, where does he need help? And he says, we need to build a football department. And I said, absolutely, I agree. Let's go. People can judge. People can have their doubts. That's part of being a football supporter. But I fully back in Ryan. And we're having really, really good discussions. And we got to be positive about going forward. Absolutely.
Just one of your other pillars, I'd love to pick your brain on the commercial plan. You'd said that hopefully at the end of it, you'd like to see, you know, small profit if possible. But it's a very rare thing in League of Ireland, any football, but particularly League of Ireland football. It's so, so difficult. So can you give us any insight into how you might go about doing that? I know you mentioned the commercial plan. I know the women's jersey is going to be launched for sale soon. So that's obviously something people can get behind. That's not something that wasn't available before. But unless you can do a Bose and maybe sell €2 million worth of them, it's going to be tough.
Look, I told you I'm a romantic. Maybe I'm a dreamer. Look, it's important to be positive. And like I say, I do have a plan. So let's look at our owner, okay? Nick Gianetti, he's a stakeholder at Plymouth, okay? Plymouth Argyle are a profitable football club. I think he told me 5 to 6 million last year. Do football clubs make profit in the UK or even in Ireland? Not really, but the football club that he's involved with has. So when I got involved with this project originally, that's myself and Nick were aligned with that. I see the football club as a sustainable business. We want to appreciate multiple sources of revenue so that we can balance the books. I probably am dreaming, Kieran, if I think we're going to come out with a couple of a couple hundred thousand profit. But look at Bohemians. I had a really, really good meeting with Derek O'Neill and the FEI last week, and he told me the stuff Bows are doing. I take my hat off to Daniel Lambert and the guys there. I think Derek told me they five full-time staff in the community stroke commercial department. It's brilliant. In my opinion, that's the way to do it. They're bringing in multiple sources of revenue. I know I'd love to meet Daniel, and I've sent him an email and I'm waiting for him to get back to me. I'm open to ask for help. We're passionate about League of Ireland football. I'm going to reach out to other people, another football club, and say, okay, can we bounce stuff off each other? Because is there an industry here in Ireland, football industry? Not really. It's up to people to collaborate and to share ideas. And I would love to get to the place where Bohemians are, where they're employing people in the community. They've got successful projects where they're helping thousands and thousands of people. I take my hat off to them. The football stuff now, I'm sure, I don't want to talk about Bohemians too long, but I'm sure now they've got enough liquid in their account that they can go out and they can give Alan Reynolds, they can say to Alan Reynolds, well, this is what you have now for your budget, because they've got multiple sources of income. Without those sources of income, well, they can say to Alan, there you go, go take that player, go buy the Oscar Traynor Park like they done last year, I think. And that's all down to their community engagement and the commercial problem, the commercial programs, as far as I know. So, yeah, maybe I'm a dreamer, Kieran, but I do think the situation where we are in the country, sorry, the position of Athlone, the country, logistically, it's a thriving town. A developer friend of mine rang me when I got the job, and he was like, do you know what's happening at Athlone the next 5 to 7 years? Ballymore Homes have planned to turn into a mini city. And I was like, yeah, I read something about that. So, and you're speaking of business in relation to competition. We've no competitor in the town, really. There's other sports, there's rugby, there's GAA, but we're the only real professional football club in the town. So I think there's a massive opportunity to connect with the community, hopefully connect with some of the big companies in the area and the smaller companies that want to get on board. So when you put all that together, hopefully we can make some profit.
I'm not really up with my Athlone musicians, but maybe we'll extend it Westmeath wide. You could have a Foster and Allen jersey or Joe Dolan, maybe.
Listen, I say this already, like, it's not just Athlone, it's the Midlands area. Like, you know, 100%, I would love to get a little concert down in the stadium there. Like, you know, we do some event management or lease out the ground and get a... Someone said to me, there's a local guy here, a very popular guy named Boxer Moore, and I don't know him. I'm due to meet him at some stage. But he wanted to run a boxing event out of the stadium. I was like, yeah, like, how can we help the community? How can we help? How can we use our ground to facilitate the people? So, yeah, I mean, sure, we can put our heads together, appreciate different sources of revenue, different streams of revenue. And we have a goal. You know, I don't want to go too much into detail about our budget, but that's something I'm working on currently with our financial manager. But yeah, maybe we'll be having this chat this time next year and saying, yeah, we actually made a few quid profit, but we'll see.
Yeah, hopefully. Just before I let you go, you've mentioned it a lot, community engagement, and you want to repair the things from the past. I know you've done a couple of Q&As locally, and Nick did one as well around some of the European games for the women. And obviously, you're on this podcast, which is welcome. It's transparent. It's good to see. How did those Q&As go, and what was the main message that was delivered to you by the Athlone fans you spoke to? What do they want to see in the short, medium, and long term future?
I got to be careful. I don't want to disrespect anyone, but they wanted to see change, Ciarán. They wanted to see change. There's very, very passionate football people in this town. I'd like to think I'm an honest guy, so I was 100% honest with them about what I've said to you. I said, these are our plans. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to build out departments. We're going to get people in. But that was the main feeling, the main gripe that they had. There was a lot of trust had been broken. And it's my job, it's Nick Gianetti's job to restore the faith in the football club, to build that trust back up. Speaking to other, you know, business people in the town and community figures, say they haven't come down to the football club in a number of years for different reasons. And when I sit with them and I say, listen, we got to get you back down. These are the plans that we're looking to work towards. I hope when they look in my eyes that they see someone that they can trust, that I can provide detail to what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And how do you build trust? You tell people what you're going to do, and then they see very early signs that you're going to do it. So do they see subtle little changes? I know last week there was a bit of negative press, you know, and like with Colin leaving, it obviously wasn't ideal.
Just on that, Stephen, as you said, there, people have said they'd like to see change behind the scenes. Has that change happened, or is it still happening? Because some of Colin's comments where he suggested maybe there was boardroom interference in his team, that would lead people to think change hasn't happened yet at Athlone. So is that a process that's still ongoing, or do you feel there has been significant change that will bring improvement to the club and for the supporters?
Yeah, look, again, I said I'm not going to go into Colin's statements and speak too much about it, but so what changes have happened? So we've brought in a financial manager. Okay, the financial condition of the football club isn't all that great when we came in. Okay, it's not. So it's a business. I brought in a financial manager because I wanted to regulate and professionalise our practice. The money is so important. What we spend, what we bring in. So I've got a really, really good guy, and Emerson Farrelly now being our financial manager. And I'm on to him every single day because we have quite a bit of work to clean up. That's the truth. People around the community, people in the football club know what condition the football club is in financially. And there's an awful lot of work to do. people have said to me, if the old owner, if Nick hadn't have come in the time he came in, possibly the doors would have been shut. I don't know, but that's what people said to me. So the financial manager coming in is huge, in my opinion. We've also appointed Eugene Pettit as our marketing manager. The brand, Ciarán, of Athlone Town is damaged. It's damaged. There's no doubt. People have lost trust in the brand, in the football club. So how do we change the narrative? What we do is we get a good marketing manager and we start to send our message into the community. Okay. And at the moment, one of the only positive things in the football club at the moment is the women's football and the journey that they've been on. So Eugene's been really, really good with documenting that and building our platforms in that aspect. What else has been happening is I'm going to be bringing in a technical director. That's been approved by the board. I'm in the recruitment process. That's going to be the head of the football department. That's a full-time role. So in the short space of time, I'd like to see the subtle changes there. People are not going to see it on the pitch straight away, unfortunately. But I'd like to see people around that are working me every single day are seeing change. People that I speak to in the community are saying to me, Stephen, we do see change. Business people, we see subtle changes. Ciarán, you know this, and people know this that are in the game. This isn't going to happen after 6 weeks, 7 weeks. I'm not going to put a duration on it, but it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time. It really, really is. And I just hope that people in the community trust us because we're doing our best. But those appointments that we have made early on, financial manager, marketing manager, technical director coming soon, they're going to have a big impact on the club, and there will be more. There will be more.
Well, look, Stephen, I want to thank you for your time. You've been very generous. As I said, I think it's great to see you doing podcast appearances like this. I know you've been doing stuff on the Athlone socials as well, giving supporters updates. So that can only help to, bring that transparency and hopefully build that bit of trust. But for your time today, we thank you very much and wish you all the best at Athlone.
Thanks, Ciarán. Look, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I'm always really happy to give information. People have said to me in the past, they haven't heard much coming out. I can talk and talk and talk and give detail, but ultimately I know people want to see change and I really hope they trust me that we're all doing our best, and if they can be patient, I'd appreciate it. I know they want to see change straight away, but we are doing our best. And again, Ciarán, thank you for your time as well. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.